Welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now in the studio at the University of Sioux Falls is Rich Naser. He's the president of the South Dakota Technology Business Center. Rich, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kara. I appreciate it.
So we just heard from Shelley Gardner about this academy. Talk a little bit about your partnership then with Augustana.
You bet. We are really excited about this partnership. Augustana approached us on partnering on this. They were going to proceed with the Entrepreneurial Mindset Academy, and they were looking for help connecting with entrepreneurs to be part of those different eight programs, those different eight sessions. So our role really with them is we are connecting them with a lot of the people that we have worked with over the years through the South Dakota Technology Business Center to help be that bridge connecting the academic program, the Entrepreneurial Mindset Program, with the entrepreneurs out in the community and in our region. So we're excited about that, and we think it's a great program, and then we're also going to help them promote that going forward. So we're really thrilled that they reached out to us to partner.
So take me back to 2004 and what the vision was back in 2004 when this whole thing started to where you are today.
Yeah, so it's been a great journey, and we've had a lot of fun and a lot of success, and we're evolving, and we'll talk about that. But in 2004, when we launched, you know, the real vision is still very similar. And that was really to have an impact on the community through entrepreneurship, and at that time with really an emphasis on technology businesses and helping those companies launch, grow, and scale in Sioux Falls to create those career opportunities that are high skill, high wage, challenging, that help diversify our economy. And we've been successful in that over that period of time. Our latest economic impact data was actually a year old because we're just starting to collect for the end of 2015. But as the companies we've worked with have created 728 jobs, they've secured $172 million in private equity funding and some grant funding in that. And then those jobs that they've created are, I think, paying around $69,000 a year. So that was the original vision and goal, and we believe that we've accomplished that, but now we're starting to evolve to position ourselves for another decade of growth and success.
Okay, and now you're focusing on reaching the entrepreneur?
Yeah, so one of the things when we launched was we were very specifically focused on technology entrepreneurs. And after 10 years of operating, after our 10th year, we had a strategic planning session with our board. We had a retreat. We started looking and evaluating, well, who are we working with? Who are our real success stories? Who are the ones that made an impact on our community? And while a lot of those were technology businesses, some of them you wouldn't think of as technology. So we decided we wanted to reposition ourselves to be a little broader, so entrepreneurs with scalable businesses and concepts wouldn't automatically look at our current name, South Dakota Technology Business Center, and pre-select out, because it's really all about the economic impact. So we started there in 2014, started evaluating the programs and services we were providing as well, how that landscape has evolved and changed, and what we need to be going forward. So we're positioning ourselves with a much more significant emphasis on the entrepreneurship component, but still wanting to have those outcomes of successful growing companies, you know, the DocuTaps, the Meta Payment Systems, the Data Syncs, the Alumens. We're really excited about the future.
And you provide space. You provide training. What all
right.
Do you provide?
Right, and that's evolving too. So, I mean, we always provided space. We always provide this technology infrastructure, and we've always provided, and probably in a less structured or formal way, entrepreneurial development support. But in 2004, which is hard to imagine this because the world of technology changes so fast, you know, we had a great building, flexible space, good lease terms, and by the way, we could get you reliable internet, network access, all those things that today you got on your phone when you're walking around, and a lot of those things you don't need, and you may not need an office all the time.
True.
So, but those things were very valuable, I think, to those companies that we were working with, and we also have lab space and things that a small startup company isn't going to go be able to build and and amortize over the time frame they need. So we evolved and we started adding programs. So our accelerator program, which you cover every year, which we've done six of, which I think those companies employ more than 80 people, and 20 of the 26 are still in business, and they've raised We got to get those numbers updated as well, but they raised another $2.5 million of equity. All those things have been successful, but what we've done then is gone back and looked, and we started creating some additional programs and refining those programs and formalizing them. So we can have less emphasis on facility, more emphasis on the interaction that happens in the facility, and then the right resources and support to help those entrepreneurs, budding entrepreneurs, and scale up entrepreneurs grow their businesses.
So. And you're partnering with Augustana, SDSU, USD,
yes,
University of Sioux Falls.
Absolutely. So that was also came out of our strategic planning session, and we're going to announce our new board members, I believe, next week. But what we intentionally went and looked, what do we need to do to be that bridge between the private sector, the public sector, and the educational community to foster entrepreneurship? And so one of the things we've purposely done is we have now people on our board from the USD School of Business, from USF's Vakurovich School of Business, and from Augustana from their Entrepreneurship and Innovation Program. And that's how this opportunity came about. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we think we can provide a value to those institutions and contribute to the entrepreneurial community is to take students that are in entrepreneurship programs, match them up with startup businesses so they get a real entrepreneurial experience so they can see what entrepreneurship really is down in the trenches. And those companies can get access to some of the best and brightest that we have to offer in this region, some of our future leaders. So,
describe to me, for me, what entrepreneurship really is down in the trenches.
Well, it's...
Give me that picture.
So from my perspective, and I guess I've been closely observing this and been involved with this with our clients over the last now, 14 years, if my math is correct, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of hard work, it's a lot of hours, but it's also a lot of fun. And the reason it's fun is because those people have this passion. You know, you don't go into entrepreneurship just to make a dollar. You go into entrepreneurship because you got a passion about your product, your service, or solving a problem. And if you don't have that passion, you're not going to be able to withstand all the challenges. And so that's really what entrepreneurship is. I mean, it is solving a problem that people are willing to pay you to solve, right, or address. Because if you don't have sales and you don't, you can solve a problem, but if you don't have any way to get paid for it, it really isn't a business, right? Mm-hmm. But it's solving that problem, and it starts with the passion and seeing that, but then it's the willingness to do all the hard things. So we like to say that we like to take entrepreneurs and help take their passion and their enthusiasm for what they're doing, apply business skills, accounting, legal, marketing, you know, supply chain management, whatever we have to do for those people to help them take that passion and grow it into a successful entrepreneurial endeavor. And it is hard work. It is not a 4-hour job a day, 4-hour day job, or an 8-hour day job. But I think a lot of the entrepreneurs that we've worked with over the years, I don't know that they're so committed and they're so focused. I know they get there's days where they are not always feeling the best about the decision, but they're just driven. They're driven to be successful because they're passionate about what they're doing to help.
And they know they're right, probably, and with the solution.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say is there's that fine line, right? A lot of the businesses that we worked with over the years have started with a product or service focused in one area or one niche, and they've had to evolve. Mm-hmm. And there is that need to adapt, and that's a really gray area of when do you stick to your guns as far as this is the product and the service I'm going after, versus evolving to maybe go where the market takes you. But that's the other thing I think that we've seen from those entrepreneurs. They've been willing to adapt their market segment or their product or service to make it into a business. And they've probably also been willing to very much adapt to the role that they're willing to play in the company. Mm-hmm. So we've seen over the years that sometimes the person who starts as the founder ends up being the chief technology officer or gives up the day-to-day operations and isn't the CEO anymore but still might be chairman of the board because not all of us can scale to that. I mean, there's, mm-hmm. you know, not everybody is Mark Zuckerberg, right? Or people forget that Steve Jobs kicked out of his own company. Mm-hmm. So it's just there, and it really probably comes down to the number one thing. They aren't going to be successful if they don't have the commitment. And it's just really fun to work and support people who have that drive, that passion, that vision, because you feel like you're also in a small way contributing to something important.
So you've talked about your partnership with the colleges and universities yep. here on the eastern side of the state. What about, you know, School of Mines and what's happening out west? How are these state agencies?
Yeah.
Are you a state agency?
No, we are not. And that maybe will lead into our future conversation. We'll tee up about we will be announcing a new brand in the near future. We're not a state agency, and that's we're a separate nonprofit. We're actually we were founded by Ford Sioux Falls, the Chamber of Sioux Falls Area Chamber of Commerce, and Sioux Falls Development Foundation are the two members of our corporation. And we really look at it as it's the business community investing back in the next generation of entrepreneurs and business people. But we do collaborate across the state. The entrepreneurial community is thriving and growing, and that's, you know, another big change. In 2004, nobody said they wanted to be an entrepreneur. Now everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. It's the Zuckerberg effect or whomever you want to attribute that to. But it's a great thing. It's a great thing for South Dakota. But as an example, in our past accelerator programs, for the last several years, we've had people come over from Rapid City. Things come out of the School of Mines. The entrepreneurial community, the beauty of that, when you're focused on kind of this grow your own portion, it's not competitive between Brookings and Sioux Falls and Vermilion and Rapid City and Spearfish, because you're focused on helping your own talent and people grow. Or we have companies in our building today, biomedical companies. Their main headquarters is going to be in the Black Hills. They got some R&D and development, or I'm sorry, it's diagnostic work going on in one of our labs, and they're doing some of their research and animal studies over at Sanford. So it's very distributed, and that's a good thing for. I mean, it's really about a win for South Dakota. It's not just about a win for Sioux Falls. So we do a lot of partnerships in that, and we've only seen that continue to grow through some of the other things I'm involved with.
And it's about also teaching students that there's something for them to do here and a reason to stay.
Right. I mean, that's it's not really, in my opinion, and others may disagree. To me, it's not a bad thing if people leave South Dakota to go on and expand their networks and experience other things. But what we don't want people to have people leave because there was no opportunity. Mm-hmm. And for the people that leave, what we're really trying to do is create opportunities for them to come back to South Dakota. I mean, there's nothing better than someone who's been in California or New York, been involved in the startup scene there, the startup companies, or a large company, and then they come back here to do something, because then they bring those connections, that experience back here, and they help shape our culture for business and entrepreneurship. But what we don't want is them to leave because I really, really want to stay and there's nothing for me to do here that challenges me or interests me. That's what we really want to avoid.
We hear about places, things, opportunities popping up like the garage in Rapid City or the bakery
yeah.
in Sioux Falls. And how is this related at all, or is it a competition? Or
no, it's all really part of that broader entrepreneurial community, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody serves a purpose and I think builds that community. And the things that are going on in the bakery, I think, for example, in Sioux Falls, because I know more about mm-hmm. them than in the garage in Vermilion, I mean, they're doing great things to support people that are at that stage of entrepreneurship where they're exploring that, or they're a sole proprietor and they're growing that. And they're really, I think, doing a great job of helping people in that space and lifting up entrepreneurship. And where we see ourselves is for those ones who really want to grow and scale a company where they might want to grow to 5-10 employees, or maybe it's need to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, as an entrepreneur, there is a choice to make. Do you want to have a business where it's you and you're leveraging yourself? You're a solopreneur is one of the words they use to describe that. And there's great benefits to that, that you don't have employees to manage. You don't have other people, you know, worry about making payroll for the rest of your staff. Our focus is still on the other side of that equation, where you're going to grow. You're going to have to add staff, developers, scientists, researchers, salespeople, whatever that you, depending on what your industry is. That's our focus, because we are not deviating from our mission of economic impact.
So you're not hyper-focused on the brand new starts?
We would be hyper-focused on the brand new start if it already from the beginning knew it was going to scale. And through our incubation programs, I mean, we will always we will always be focused on that, helping those people. But it's always going to be, again, we're going to be selecting the people we work with based on their potential to scale and grow the business.
How do you know you have a winner?
You don't. If I were that smart, Kara, I would be a venture capitalist. I would be wealthy. Mm-hmm. I always say you can't really, you just got to play them all straight, right? You play it all straight. You engage the entrepreneur. You provide them the support. And then it really comes back to, are they reciprocating? Are they committing? Are they showing that they're willing to do what they need to do? I mean, it's never a straight line or nice diagonal increase on how a company grows. Even some of our most successful ones grew, shrunk, moved sideways, grew, mm-hmm. shrunk. It's just not – and that's where I think, again, it comes back to that, you know, if that entrepreneur doesn't have the passion and the commitment for it, they will go and get a job or go do something else. But you don't know which ones are going to be successful. You can certainly do things like entrepreneurial assessments, you know, like StrengthFinder for entrepreneurs. You can make sure that they've gone and done the basics. But there is some part of serendipity involved. But also, the more committed and the harder the work, the more likely you are to make your own luck. So
now, Shelley Gardner talked about how that she personally had to shift her own thinking in developing this. Being a facilitator for this class that we talked about earlier, that it is totally problem solving and not teaching them how to write a business plan, teaching them how to run a business for an entrepreneur, but pushing them to get started.
Right. Well, I mean,
have you had to change your thinking too over the
years?
Oh,
I'm sure I have. So I'm sure I didn't have everything figured out perfectly. No, I have. I have had to evolve. And, you know, one of the things that's become clear very early on in this process, though, is if you want to have a successful business to the point that Shelley made, it is about solving someone's problem, someone's pain. There's very few things, again, I'll go back to my Steve Jobs reference, there's very few people, entrepreneurs, companies that can create the demand, right? I mean, that company, Apple, created things that nobody knew they needed. That's a very different thing and a very difficult thing to do mm-hmm. versus here's a problem I'm fixing for you. Here's how you get your return on investment on it. Here's why what I'm doing works. And I don't know what the percentage is, but, you know, 90-some percent of the, I think, the successful endeavors are that versus creating a whole new category of product or service that nobody even knew they wanted. Mm-hmm. Yes, we've had to be entrepreneurial. I've had to be entrepreneurial in my thinking and continue to evolve. And that's really what entrepreneurs do, right? Mm-hmm. They evolve. They do what needs to be done to continue to be relevant and grow and have an impact and be successful.
And you have some announcements coming up that we can't talk about today, but things are changing.
Right. So I'll talk about one more. I don't know how much time we have left, but one more thing that we already have implemented. And to your point about our changing our thinking, we've actually created entrepreneur in residence and entrepreneur on staff program. So one of the things we've really come to learn is, and again, probably back to Tanya Michelli's point on the problem solving versus, you know, providing them, here's how you do the business plan, which those fundamentals mm-hmm. are still very important.
True.
We can't lose sight of that. But we also have found that one of the biggest things we can do is we've created an entrepreneur in residence program, which we have launched and brought a few in and are building out, where we're connecting people with successful entrepreneurs who may be looking for their next venture, their next opportunity to mentor. And then we brought one or two of those people on our staff over time to help us actually evaluate our programs and evolve them and actually work directly in a more ongoing manner with some of our tenants.
Okay.
So that's one way we've evolved. But we will be announcing on March 23rd at 4:30 our new brand.
Okay.
And again, it's to really just sum up what we've already become. And then we have new partnerships and new programs that we'll be rolling out throughout the year. And we're just really excited about it. I mean, it's a great time to be an entrepreneur in Sioux Falls. It's a great time to be an entrepreneur in South Dakota, and it's probably a great time to be an entrepreneur in the United States. The barriers are just coming down, from my perspective, for those things.
And we'll have you back to talk about these changes when you're able.
Great. Thank you very much, Kara.
Rich, I want to thank you so much for taking time and coming on the program today.